All right, church, feel free to grab a seat. And if you have a Bible, go ahead and grab that and turn with me to the book of Galatians. We're going to be in chapter 5 here this morning. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a hardback black one somewhere in a seat in front of you. That is yours to keep. Take that home with you. I hope that that can be a blessing to you. If we have not met yet, my name is Corey. I am one of your elders here. I also have the privilege of serving as one of your pastors on staff. And I am just thankful to be able to bring you the word of God here this morning. Galatians 5 is where we will be at today. Now, what if I told you that there was a way of life that was to your best interest? That there was a way of life that led you to peace, joy, satisfaction, everything that you need, and you got to do life alongside of someone who was just wisdom to you, someone that you love and that you cherish. So my best friend, he lives out in Washington, D.C., and he is a very wise young man. The first reason in which I know that he is wise is because he heeded to his parents' wisdom, instruction. He walked by. He walked alongside of his parents who just held a lot of great wisdom to guide him through life. Now, he also has siblings on the other side of things who did not heed to their parents' wisdom, and they reaped the fruit of that. But my friend, my best friend, he has a job on Capitol Hill. He has a second job. He's also a Marine. He was a phenomenal collegiate athlete, AB student. Is about to marry the love of his life, a godly, God-fearing woman. He travels across the world to serve the world. I mean, this guy's a stud, man, right? A stud. Now, on the other side of things, right, his siblings, not so much. Denied their parents' instruction, did not walk by their parents, did not trust them, have poor relationships, and all that comes along with that. Make bad choices, all the things. The list could go on and on. But what we're going to see in this text here today is Paul encouraging us as believers, for those of us in this room who are believers, to walk alongside, to walk by the Spirit, to walk in the ways in which the Spirit calls us to. And so the goal for us today, as we walk through this text, is just that. How do we walk by the Spirit but avoid the things that the Spirit of God tells us to avoid, which is very hard for us as humans? We have that sinful nature, that sinful flesh. And so today, Paul gives us two commands in which we are to live by and the reasons as to why we should live by them. And so before we dive into the context of the book that we're walking through today, I think it's important for us to spend time just asking the Holy Spirit for his help as we talk about how we walk alongside of him, how we walk by the Spirit. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for how good you are. Lord, thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to us. Lord, thank you that you have given us a way in which we are to walk that will lead to life and godliness and not destruction. And so I pray, Lord, that as we walk through this passage, Jesus, that you would just show us how we are to do this well, what we are to avoid, and what we are to abide in. Holy Spirit, be with us today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anything that I want you to walk away with today, it's simply this statement. Walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Easy enough, right? Walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Now, the previous 3 weeks, so we began this series on the Holy Spirit. And week one, we talked about who is the Spirit, okay? Not what is the Spirit, but who. He's a person, right? Part of the Trinity. He's not the weird uncle, right? He has a specific role to dwell in us when we put faith in Christ, which leads us to week two. We talked about being indwelt with the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes inside of us at the moment of conversion, how he is here to do all the C's that Brock talked about last week, to convict, to comfort, and all the other things that I forget because I'm a bad employee and I forget things, okay? But the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us at the moment that we trust in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. And so today we're going to talk about walking by the Spirit. Now, It's important that we understand the book that we are diving into. And so the author of the book of Galatians is this man by the name of Paul. Now, understand just what a privilege it is that we get to hear from Paul in the book of Galatians, right? Paul was a man who used to persecute the church. He had joy of seeing us murdered and slain and people thrown in prison. And then the Lord met him, radically gave his life to Jesus, and just a beast in the faith, beast in a good way. He's a man who, in his final letter with boldness, wrote to the saints, wrote to the believers, as he's knowing that he's about to die, head severed from his neck. And he's spending time not crying, but writing to the Christian, hey, continue on in the faith in which Christ has called you to. You know, as American Christians, too, we love to pick a camp. We're either heavy evangelistic or we are heavy discipleship. But Paul, being the theological genius, giving us the book of Romans, but yet going all over the world, sharing the gospel in the book of Acts, he's both. And we have the privilege to hear from him today. And so he's writing this letter to us because there's been an attack on the church of Galatia. These false teachers, these pseudo-Christians have come in and they started promoting that, hey, your salvation comes by living the law, by living through the law. So essentially that your works will lead you to salvation. And Paul is here to combat that. He's saying it doesn't matter what food you eat. It doesn't matter if you're externally circumcised. It doesn't matter if you obey the Sabbath. Now, all those things are good things, you know, depending on who you are. Like, those could be good things, but those aren't salvific things. You're justified by faith in Christ alone. Amen. And that's what Paul preaches all throughout this letter. And may this shape the way that we walk through this text today. So let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 16. Let's read the whole text, and then we'll talk about this first command that Paul gives us. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ouch. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the first command that I want to talk about, in which Paul gives us, is simply do not walk by the flesh. Okay? Do not walk by the flesh. And while you're writing, the first reason that I want to give you is because the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and his desires. And that comes straight from verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, it's important for us to understand that the believer, those of you in this room who call Christ your Lord, you have this war going on inside of you. You have this war of obedience. Do I want to obey the flesh or do I want to walk by the Spirit of God? Guys, I feel that every time I drive in this city. I love Indianapolis, but it doesn't make sense to me that 465 is 55 miles an hour. And even I was on Friday night with my group guys, my discipleship group guys, and I just told them, hey, listen, man, I'm trying to practice what I'm literally preaching on Sunday. But I am enraged with this old lady in front of me driving the speed limit. So praise God for accountability, right? Praise God for them. But man, we have this war going on inside of us. One pastor I listened to, he said this so well. It's a battle, the flesh and the Spirit, because the Spirit and the flesh promise what only the Spirit can give. They both promise, but only one can deliver. They oppose each other. Now, it's also important, too, I think, that we understand how severely against each other these things are to one another, right? So just a few examples that I think we can understand. I think a boiled egg in a microwave. Has anyone here ever tried to boil an egg in a microwave? Don't do it if you don't have to. Like, I've seen it twice in my life, and just, I mean, microwave absolutely destroyed. Like, if you try to do it. So when I was six, my mom tried that, and, I mean, microwave was smoking. The egg was obliterated. The microwave didn't work anymore. Water everywhere. Bowl melted. It was intense, right? Like, see, so those two things don't coexist. They just can't work. How about a fall day in November where you have a Michigan and an Ohio State fan in the same house during the big game, right? I'm sure you feel that tension, right? Those things cannot exist together. Like SpongeBob, the Krusty Krab and the Chum Bucket. I don't know. I'm coming up with stuff now, man. You know? Just, there's a level where, again, like, hey, walking by the flesh, walking by the spirit. We have to separate the two. We are not to walk by the flesh. Do not walk by the flesh, Paul says. And then the why behind that leads us to our second thing. Do not walk by the flesh because it keeps you from doing the things you want to do. And it literally says that in verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The desires of the flesh are meant to be a blockade to us operating in the Spirit of God. It is meant to keep us from producing the fruit of the Spirit. And I think Paul says it well in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. It'll be on the screen. You don't have to turn there. But Paul says, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do," there's a lot of do nots and do's and all this, "but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." Again, there's this internal battle that we just fight as believers. Spirit-indwelt people, we have this battle. But still, Paul tells us, do not walk by the flesh because they are against the spirit and his desires. It keeps you from doing the things you want to do. And thirdly, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds a bit harsh, right? A bit harsh for those of us who are believers. But I think as we read verses 19 through 21, it'll explain exactly what it means. So let's take a look, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy," then you have these addictions, "drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So I want to just keep looking at verse 21 and that word "do." You should have a footnote in your Bible. What does that footnote say? Someone tell me. Anyone? Make a practice of doing. Very good. Right? So what this text is saying is that this word "do" means make a practice of doing. This is a warning to those who practice these things. If this is a habitual practice where you run to as your source of rest with no remorse, with no regard to the testimony of Jesus Christ as your Lord, with no repentance, then I think it's fair for me to tell you to, you may want to evaluate if you truly are saved or not. Because now, again, what we say around here a lot is not perfectly, but patternly. And so it's important that as we're looking to live out and honor the Lord, that we are trusting in the Spirit, not walking by the flesh, walking by the Spirit, leaning into him to help us overcome these things. And if for you, you have no remorse, then again, evaluate. And if you need to talk to someone, I'll be up here afterwards. or someone else will be up here afterwards. Elders, that's an invitation for you to join me. So not perfectly, but patternly. And so it makes me think about a time where I was not walking in wisdom, as we talk about walking by the flesh and not by the Spirit. It makes me think about a time in my life where I did not use wise judgment. So I took a Pilates class once. It's funny, Anna. Isn't it just funny? Me, Pilates. So it contradicted what was good for me just during that time. So if you love Pilates, hey, that's great. But during this time in my life, it was horrible for me to do. So I'll explain. So I was in my college town that summer. I was taking some summer classes just trying to get my undergrad done early. And then I was also training with my athletic team. I played football at Liberty. And so we stayed all throughout the summer to train together. And but somehow, some of my teammates and these ladies that they met on campus encouraged us to all go to a Pilates class. So imagine these 5'6", 4", 300-plus-pound men going in this class. And listen, so this isn't to brag, but this is to give you context of how much of a failure I was. I was known for being an athletically fit freak athlete during that time. And so I go in this class, and 15 minutes in, as I have a pile of sweat in front of me, not like my eyes were bloodshot red, bro, not looking forward to that next rep, while this girl beside me just dainty, flush red cheeks, over there crushing it, smiling the whole time, laughing at us. How rude, right? Man, I knew that was a mistake to even go in that class, but to even make it worse, so that night we go to workouts, and our workouts normally were from 5:30 to 7:30. College athletics, that means really from 4:30 to 9 p.m. And so we were there training, and so my strength coach, who was just this big guy with the softest voice, he just comes out, "I heard you guys did Pilates today." And I'm like, first of all, bro, don't say it like that. All right, don't say it like that. It's not okay. You know, but he comes up and says, "Listen, that's not okay." He's like, "Because what we're trying to accomplish to prepare you for the season during this specific time, all that does is hinder your progress. Like, you walking in this way eventually is going to get you hurt out on that field. Leave it alone and walk in this manner of training." Similar to what we see Paul telling us here. Right, hey, do not walk by the flesh. Avoid that at all costs. I know it may seem tempting. I know it may smell good. But man, sprint from that and walk by the Spirit, which the second command that we see from Paul is that, to walk by the Spirit. Because to walk by the flesh is harmful to us. But we are to walk by the Spirit. Now, before we get into the reasons as to why we should walk by the Spirit, I think it's important for us to understand what it means to walk by the Spirit. I think the first thing that we have to know is that to walk by the Spirit means that we are saved, we are regenerated because of Christ. We have met Jesus. He is the Lord of our life. He is number one. We look to honor him and please him. We fight our flesh. We say no to our desires so that we can live out his. We are saved. Okay, so that's what it means. What it does not mean, right, being saved doesn't mean that you grew up in church and you obtained this salvation. That's not what salvation means. There had to be a moment where you met Jesus. He becomes the Lord of your life. You submit your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What it does not mean is that you grew up in a Christian home and you inherited this faith. That's not what it, guys, listen, I love you. I don't want to deceive you and make you think something that's not true. All because you grew up in a Christian home, or all because you went to church, or all because you attended summer camp that one time, doesn't make you a believer. Doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. What does is Romans 10, 9 and 10, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Amen. Jesus, the Lord of your life. So to walk by the Spirit means that we are saved. Secondly, it means that we are walking in close fellowship with him and the Word. He gives us the Word through prayer. I believe we walk in fellowship with him, but walking in fellowship with other believers. Another way, and what it means to walk by the Spirit, is allowing him to set direction for us, knowing that we can trust him wherever he leads us because we are walking close with him, being obedient to the opportunities of witness that he may give us. right? Makes me think about this lady who was going to our Indianapolis missions trip this year, but then she just felt the Spirit of God prompt her, hey, I need to switch that trip, and I need to go somewhere that's a bit more stretching for me. So she obeyed the Spirit of God. I was like, hey, I don't know how the finances are going to work out because she just paid a ton of money on taxes. She was a bit intimidated by the spiritual darkness in the area of town that we're going to, but she obeyed because she walked close to the Spirit. And just a cool testament of what the Spirit of God will do. So the financial thing, God just crushed it, right? Me and Liv Hogan watched as people in the body of Christ just gave to her trip, and the trip is fully funded now. Isn't that cool? Like as we, yeah, that's right, that's awesome, man. Like as we walk close to him and just be obedient, he'll provide the opportunities and the needs for us to go and love the world with the gospel. So walk by the Spirit. We talked about what it means. Now, why, right? What are the reasons as to why we should walk by the Spirit? The first thing that we'll see is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, verse 16, that's where it comes from. Let's read that again. And I think it literally says that. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, I want to hang out here for a little bit. Because what we have to understand is that we are empowered by the Spirit to overcome the lifestyle of sin. Whether it's a pattern that we're struggling with, if it's a one-off that continues to come back often and just plague us, we are empowered by the Spirit to overcome this lifestyle of sin. Amen. Where the Holy Spirit is, darkness trembles, because darkness knows the Spirit is a good counselor who gives us all that we need to destroy the evil that constantly plagues us. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You do not have to gratify the flesh. You can walk by the Spirit. I don't care how big your sin is. You can overcome that to the glory of Christ. Walk close with him. Now, I know for some of you in this room, that's really hard for you to hear, as you just can't seem to break that habitual sin. You can't seem to break the pattern of going on the computer and seeing things that you probably shouldn't, right? Alcohol is hard. Some of you are wrestling with those things, drugs, whatever it may be. But I believe in a Christ who conquered death. And I know the Spirit of God can see you through that. Now, it may take some parameters. It may take some wisdom, right? If you struggle with alcohol, you may not want to go inside of a convenience store. Send someone in there for you. It's embarrassing. It may be, but it's worth it. You may need to not have your phone or your laptop in your room at night. Hey, it may be inconvenient, but it's worth it. But as you're, let that be supplemental, though, to you walking close with the Spirit, though. You could put up all the parameters you want to, but if you're not walking by the Spirit, it'll just come back and bite you again and again. Now, as we're doing that, as we're walking by the Spirit, and as we're putting up the parameters, if you fall, if you go back to the flesh, don't be discouraged. Go sit under the grace of Christ and sit there. And sit there under the waterfall of grace. And let him just shower you with his love. And when the guilt and shame has gone, get out of there and walk by the Spirit. Yeah? Because the more we just have guilt and shame, the more we will continue to go back to sin. But Christ has forgiven you completely, person of God, who struggles with these things. I forgot where I was. Oh, here we go. So we walk by the Spirit, so you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Secondly, so that you will do the things that you actually want to do. And verse 17 literally says that. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. And so as we walk by the Spirit, he will give us everything that we need to do, the things that we know we ought, and the things that we will grow in sanctification that we will want to then do. Thirdly, walk by the Spirit, because you are not under the law, but have grace through faith. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's where that comes from. Now, let's remember these false teachers that I talked about at the very beginning of the message and all the things that they were promoting, all the things that they were preaching, right? That you have to eat this certain type of diet to be saved, that you have to be circumcised, that you have to withhold the Sabbath or to obey the Sabbath in order for you to be saved. But what Paul is saying here is that our faith in Christ has transformed our hearts, and an outpouring of love for Christ will trump all of that. As we submit ourselves to Jesus, he has rid of that law, and he has taken the atonement for us on the cross. Therefore, we don't have to live by this law, but we have grace through faith, right? So back in the Bible, right, back in the Old Testament, people killed an innocent animal in order for their sins to be atoned for them to be forgiven. And so God was like, I want to wipe this out once and for all. I'm going to send my son Jesus down to live a perfect life. Imagine that, how hard that is. I can't even drive without getting upset. And Jesus he lived amongst sinners and never sinned. Perfect life. Was hated by man. We hung him on a cross. We beat him senseless, bloodshed. Put him in a tomb. He was dead. 3 days later, came back to life, stretched. It's a good day. He got up, stone, rolled away, and is alive to this day. Symbolic for our sins being forgiven, the blood of Christ covers us, amen. Right? Symbolic for us conquering death. As he conquered death, us putting faith in him, we conquer death. Eternal death, we get to spend eternity in heaven with him, and that is the reason why we walk by the Spirit. That is our fuel, that is our motivation as to why we walk by the Spirit. Now, for the unbeliever in the room, I'm going to use the gospel, that what I just shared, to explain to you why we as Christians act the way that we act. That is the reason why we can stand in here and worship the Lord with our hands raised. We don't care how foolish we look or not. That's the reason why you hear our terrible voices coming from behind you, is because we cannot help but express our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. That is the reason why we walk with the Lord. That is the reason why we gather in discipleship groups during the week, why we may accidentally park our cars in front of your driveway. That is the reason why we gather throughout the week. That is the reason why we serve each other and we serve when we're here on Sundays. That's the reason why you see Jim Zients always in the parking lot, rain, sleet, snow, with a big smile on his face, because he's so joyful because of what Christ has done for him. That's the reason why we share the gospel, why we use strange lines like, do you know the bread of life? I'm joking, and please never use that line. It's kind of corny, but that's the reason why we go. That is the reason why we share, because of what Christ has done for us, and that is also the reason why we walk by the Spirit. And then lastly, walk by the Spirit. Why? So that you will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read verses 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now notice that it is fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. Now I do believe as you live out the fruit of the Spirit that those other fruits are coming out. But the emphasis here is that we are to walk by the Spirit, and the outflow will be the Spirit's character in us. And our aim is not the list, but it's just simply to walk by the Spirit, and all those things will be produced outside of that. So our aim isn't, man, like, do I have self-control this week? Like, you know, man, you know, am I a drunkard this week? No, that's not the aim. Like, the aim is like keying on the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and these things will be produced. I also love how there's a John 15 reality to this. As we abide, we produce fruit. When we don't, we wither. Right? Similar to this, as we walk by the Spirit, we produce these things, which is the best life. But the contention is to walk by the flesh, and the result is withering. That's why verse 24 says, we crucify the flesh and its desires. So we walk by the Spirit. It makes me think about just the picture of kids walking with their parents through life, right? What a joy for us as parents to be blessed with children. And what a great responsibility it is for us to be able to walk those children along the way. And for those of you who do not have children, right, and one day aspire to do that, it will be a blessing from the Lord. But there's this reality that we love it because we can guide them to walk appropriately. We get to make sure that they will do what they want to do, but also what they should do. And the hope is that as they continue to grow, that the want and the should will coincide. We have the responsibility and the opportunity to love them and set them up for success in the future, to help them produce good fruit. And it's similar, that as we walk with the Holy Spirit, that he will see the same things in us, that he will help us accomplish the same things. And so we walk by the Spirit. Now, as we close this out, we know to walk by the Spirit, but how do we live this out? Take a look at verses 25 and 26 with me. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we are to keep in step with the Spirit, follow his direction, and allow for him to empower us as we walk with him. We are to walk with him because that is how we avoid the desires of the flesh, which pop up again in verse 26. Right? Things are always coming at us, right? That battle, that conflict. But we keep in step with the Spirit by knowing the word, by praying fervently, and I believe by also inviting accountability into our lives. Now, I really want you to hone in with me here. Guys, let's do those things. And not for the sake of doing, but for the sake of being able to keep in step with the Spirit. And the more we abide in the Lord, the more we can do that. Let's not make this works-based so that we can earn something, but no, this is truly so that we can produce the fruit in which God has called us to, right? So knowing the word gives us everything that we need to live out this life that Christ has called us to. It reproves us, it corrects us, it rebukes us when we need that. It guides us in everything that we need. Know the word, right? Pray. Pray fervently. Pray often. Prayer is a great interaction for us always. And it sets the tone for us every single day. And we get to commune with the one that we love. Now, one that I know will probably ruffle some feathers in here is accountability. That's why every time I preach, man, I'm always going to bring up discipleship groups. So important. So important. Why? Because as you begin to drift and drift and drift, a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ could come alongside of you and bring you back in line. You could confess sin to them, and they can help you correct that. But also, there's just this beauty of confessing sin with brothers and sisters in Jesus that just brings joy to the heart. It's so weird. Like, I'm thankful for, it's not weird, it's good, but it also just like, you wouldn't expect that. Like, I'm thankful for Monday mornings when I'm sitting with a few of our elders and we just confess sin. And it leads our hearts to a place of worship. It's so good. And so that's why I would say, for those of you who struggle with discipleship group, with the idea of it, I just want to challenge you. Why don't you approach group not in light of what you can gain from that, but how you can look to serve other people? Like, in light of what you can give instead of what you can get. Because that offers a beautiful realm of accountability that you need. If you're married, right, use your marriage for that. If you have roommates, use them for that. Kids, students, use your parents for that accountability. Let them speak into your life and talk to you when you may be going wayward. Walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you've given us this text to just key in on how we are to honor you and walk in light of you. Lord, may you be brought much glory as we worship you here today. In Jesus' name.